Hey, 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 and welcome to the Ritz Report. I am Alex Ritz. Today is Thursday, November 11th, and here we go. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Over the hump. Hump day is behind us. Tomorrow is Friday, and then on to the weekend, my friends. Thank you for joining me today on the Ritz Report. So glad you took some time out of your day to come and listen to a discussion of the issues. Good, bad, indifferent. However we want to classify them. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Send me notes of adoration and love to the old school way. Email Awooka Old School to Ritz at RitzReport.com or check me out on the socials at RitzReport. What are we talking about today, folks? What are we talking about? So the Rittenhouse trial is going on. I'm sure everybody's watching that, watching this poor kid sit on the stand and, go through, like, relive this horrible moment in his life when he never should have been put on trial to begin with. He clearly, I mean, there's video evidence of everything that happened, how anybody can watch the video evidence and think that he wasn't actually defending himself is beyond me. He clearly was defending himself. Joe Biden is loving life with his new approval ratings in the toilet and Kamala Harris's approval ratings in the toilet and inflation hitting a 30-year high. Way to go, Joe. Good job. And now they're talking about spending even more money after they did the COVID bill and then they did the bill earlier or some the bill they passed last Friday at midnight because, you know, that's how government's supposed to work, right? We're supposed to pass things at midnight. The framers, I think, would be appalled at the place that we have arrived. It is appalling. January 6th protesters are still sitting in solitary confinement. And there was a piece in the New York Times about January 6th protesters. So we've all seen some of the video of January 6th, right? Some of the people got out of control. They did some stupid things. For the most part, they didn't. Nobody was really injured except for Ashley Babbitt, right? She was shot and killed. And the guy who pulled the trigger, I mean, she was crawling through a window. She had no weapon on her. He shot and killed her anyway. But he has there's no ramifications for his actions. And then yesterday in the New York Times, man sentenced to 41 months for assaulting officer in the Capitol riot. So, okay, I'm all for law and order, and if somebody hits a cop, pushes a cop, does something to a cop that you shouldn't be doing, I'm all for that person paying a punishment of some kind. 41 months in prison for hitting a cop? Where are all of the punishments being handed down for everybody who was rioting and burning down police stations and shooting people on the street? Are those people getting 41 months in prison? This piece, written by Alan Fooner, a former New Jersey gym owner, who was the first person to plead guilty to assaulting a police officer during the attack on the Capitol in January, was sentenced on Wednesday to 41 months in prison, the most severe punishment given so far to many of the 650 people charged in the riot. The gym owner, Scott Fairlamb, admitted in August to breaking into the Capitol. And then after he left, he approached a group of officers outside as they were making their way through a large group of pro-Trump supporters. A hulking bearded man who once completed in mixed martial arts, how that matters, I have no idea. I think they're just trying to paint a picture in your head that this guy's very scary. Mr. Fairlamb could be heard on the video shouting at officers, "Are you an American? Act like it." Then unprompted, Mr. Fairlamb shoved one of them and punched him in the face. Right, so Mr. Fairlamb obviously needs to pay a fine. He needs to spend some time in jail, right? But 41 months in prison? 41 months in prison. Judge Royce C. Lamberth called Mr. Fairlamb's assault on an officer an affront to society and the law, adding that he needed to serve time in prison, even though he has shown remorse for the attack. "The offense itself that you committed is at the heart of our democracy," Judge Lamberth said. How does Judge Lamberth feel about everything else that happened last year? I mean, I would love to know that. I would love to know, can we get some of the people, you know, where CNN was was standing there with their film crew and the whole city's burning down behind him. How about the people who did all that damage? How about they go in front of Judge Fairlamb here and see what he has to say? And where is Donald Trump on all this? We have January 6th protesters, right? Some of them were out of line. Mr. Fairlamb here clearly was out of line. He should not have pushed a police officer. He should not have. It was stupid. Stupid. Right? But there are a lot of people from January 6th sitting in solitary confinement who literally maybe walked through the Capitol with a selfie stick taking some pictures. And they're still in jail. They're still in jail. And they were there that day supporting Donald Trump. Did some of them do stupid things? Yes. But the ones who walked through the Capitol with selfie sticks are sitting in solitary confinement? Further down the piece, it says, when new arrests continue almost daily and show no signs of ending, the vast prosecution of the Capitol attack has started to shift toward the process of entering guilty pleas and meeting out sentences. At this point, slightly more than 30 people have been sentenced. A majority of low-level crimes like disorderly conduct and illegally parading in the Capitol. Did you know that illegally parading in the Capitol was a crime? Do you have to do something specific to be parading, or do you just walk? Most have avoided jail altogether, receiving penalties or home confinement or probation. Before Mr. Fairlamb was sentenced, the stiffest punishment given to a January 6th defendant was the 8-month jail term handed down in July to a Florida man, Paul Hodgkins, who breached the Senate floor with a pro-Trump banner. He breached the Senate floor with a pro-Trump banner, and he got 8 months in jail. If he had done something more violent, I'm sure that the New York Times would be trumpeting it here in this piece. But again, he breached the Senate floor with a pro-Trump banner. On Tuesday night, prosecutors filed papers in court recommending their most severe sentence yet, 4 years and 3 months in prison for Jacob Chansley, the so-called QAnon shaman who pled guilty in September to obstructing the business of Congress by storming the Capitol shirtless in a horned fur hat and carrying an American flag attached to a spear. So that's what he did. He shows up shirtless. Somehow the hat and the American flag attached to the spear are part of the offense? I'm not sure. It doesn't specify here. So do we honestly think that QAnon shaman was going to take over the entire Capitol? There's how many police officers there armed with weapons, and he shows up with a stick? The question of how severely to punish those involved in the attack has promoted a kind of philosophical debate among judges on the federal bench in Washington. It hasn't created a philosophical debate. It has not. What we have here is people that are appointed and they're by different presidents, and they're meeting out these punishments based on their political views. Right, like Judge Jeanine was talking yesterday on Fox News about Rittenhouse and how, you know, the whole thing had become politicized. Like, welcome to the party, pal. Welcome to the party. We've only been watching it for the last 2 years. One judge, Tanya Chutnin, an Obama appointee, and this is why who you vote for matters, right? Because an Obama appointee, he's ideologically left. He's going to appoint judges that are ideologically left, and they are not going to follow the Constitution. They are going to do what they want to do based on their own personal preferences. And that's what's happening here. So Tanya Chutkan, an Obama appointee, has more than once handed out harsher sentences than the ones requested by the government. So she'll like look at what they want, and they're like, no, it's not enough. You're going to prison for longer for parading through the Capitol. Often accompanied by her decision with the statement, she says, there must be consequences. Another judge, Trevor McFadden, appointed by Trump, has questioned whether low-level defendants should serve any time in jail. Right, because what did you do? I walked through the Capitol with a flag. Washington's chief federal judge, Barry Howell, criticized the Justice Department's almost schizophrenic approach to sentencing at a hearing last month, noting that prosecutors had consistently described the events of January 6 in disturbingly extreme terms and yet allowed scores of defendants to plead guilty to what amounted to petty offenses. This muddled approach to government, he said, was only confusing. It's only confusing and tying the hands in issuing these sentences. So this is just, And like I said, where is Donald Trump on all of these people? Like, okay, so this man who was sentenced because he pushed a cop or hit a cop, I totally get it. Punish him. But how about all the other people who walked through the Capitol with a flag? Shouldn't he be standing up and saying something for them? They were there because he wanted to have a rally. So they were there. It's incredible. Incredible. COVID. Aaron Rodgers. So I know this is sort of an old story, but it's amazing to me how the media feels as though you have a football player, Aaron Rodgers. He comes out, he's got COVID, never got vaccinated, quote unquote, because we know the vaccine doesn't actually work like a vaccine. Although now, you know, the CDC has changed the definition of vaccine, but we're supposed to trust them anyway. Don't worry, they got it covered. It's all good. The vaccine doesn't work the way they want it to, so just change the definition of a vaccine. That's good. That works. But anyway, Aaron Rodgers did an interview, and the Washington Post spends three pages going through his interview and trying to discredit every point that he makes. It's actually sort of unbelievable. Why pay any attention to Aaron Rodgers and the fact that the guy got COVID and is now recovering? I don't understand why you need to destroy the man. So they go through this piece and they say, Rodgers, who previously told reporters he was immunized, recently tested positive for the coronavirus. On Friday, the football star, who remains in quarantine, appeared on SiriusXM's Pat McAfee show, falsely claiming that vaccines greenlit by federal regulators were untested and saying that he preferred a homeopathic treatment recommended by radio host Joe Rogan. Of course, Rodgers, a three-time MVP, is not a scientist. So we just got to call that out there. He's not a scientist, and he has no authority on complex issues of science, immunology, and virology. But his all-over-the-map reasoning for refusing to get a required vaccine touches on many of the causes of hesitancy expressed among unvaccinated America. Is it? You think it's just Joe Rogan and Aaron Rodgers that are doing that? Or do you think maybe the CDC, maybe Michelle Walensky, maybe Fauci, maybe Biden, maybe these insane, bizarre things that they're doing to try to get people vaccinated? I have a great story about how a brothel is now offering free sex to people who get vaccinated. I guess it was just a matter of time before we got there. But Rodgers, they literally, I guess, downloaded this podcast, listened to it, and then they quote him here, and they quote him here, and what they say are five misleading statements made by Rodgers. Number one, Rodgers, quote, "I didn't lie in the initial press conference. At the time, my plan was to say that I'd been immunized. It was sort of a ruse or lie. I found the immunization protocol that would work best to protect me and my teammates, and it was a long-term protocol that involved multiple months." Right? So there are doctors out there who will give you a prophylaxis protocol to try to prevent COVID. And it sounds like that's what Rodgers was doing. So they're saying, they quote him as saying this. They don't go any further as to say what this protocol was or where he got it. I don't know that he made that clear on the podcast. I didn't listen to it. But there are doctors that have prophylaxis protocols. So That's his quote, and then they say, what experts say? So now they're going to tell you what the experts say, because the experts have been so right this whole time, right? Like, we're listening to the experts, and things are going great, thanks to the experts. Rodgers, this is what the experts say, Rodgers continued to list a series of drugs and vitamins that he has begun using as a homeopathic remedy for infections, but treatments, even unproven ones, are not the same as protection, according to immunologists. Rodgers said Rogan and a team of medical experts that he spoke to but did not name recommended ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies, zinc, and other remedies. But ivermectin, an antiparasitic medication, has not been studied as a treatment for COVID-19 despite being promoted by prominent conservative media figures and politicians as well as some physicians. Okay, so we spoke about this, I think, last week. Then why the hell is ivermectin on the NIH website as a possible antiviral for COVID? Why? should it not be there? Because if you're saying that it's definitely has nothing to do with COVID and it's completely irresponsible to even recommend it, then the NIH should not have it on their website, I would argue. That continues, monoclonal antibodies, an effective, widely available COVID-19 treatment, also does not prevent the infection, and the protection it provides lasts weeks, less time than a vaccine offers from severe illness. And then they quote Sometimes treatments can reduce the severity of an illness or reduce the length of time you're sick, but vaccination prevents you from becoming sick in the first place. That's interesting because we now know that vaccination doesn't do that, right? It used to be, before the CDC changed the definition of what a vaccine was, it used to be that, yes, vaccinations did prevent you from becoming sick. But we know this one, this fancy mRNA, this Johnson & Johnson, this Moderna, this Pfizer BioNTech doesn't do that. So it's great that we have a new vaccine definition and a quote-unquote vaccine that doesn't actually do that. Still, Rogers touted natural immunity he achieved via the treatment as a superior alternative to getting vaccinated. And then they quote a microbiologist from the University of Michigan, Angelina Kozak, I guess, said the idea of natural immunity via therapies is a fallacy. Vaccines tell a person's immune system what the virus looks like so the body can build its own protection. Your immune system is the one doing the work, Kozak said. They say, I trust my body. Great, I trust mine too. It just needs to be able to recognize what it's supposed to be fighting. Then they quote him again, Rogers. The idea that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated is a total lie. If the vaccine is so great, then how come people are still getting COVID and spreading COVID and unfortunately dying of COVID? So they quote Rogers as saying this as though that is that is a statement that is not true. We obviously know that there are lots of breakthrough infections, right? Breakthrough infections are not so uncommon anymore. And if we look at the data coming out of Israel and the UK and other parts of the globe, we know that countries with very, very high vaccination rates have very, very high case rates and very, very high numbers of people who are dying who have had these shots. So they quote him here as though this statement is untrue when it's demonstrably true. And they just, I guess they just don't want to, we're living in alternate universes, I guess. So they continue here, what the experts say. Because every time, for every statement that he makes, the experts have to come out and tell the masses, the public, why Aaron Rodgers is a moron. What the experts say. This summer, officials began calling the virus's surge a pandemic of the unvaccinated, referencing the reality that unvaccinated people overwhelmingly account for the new cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. CDC data in August reveals unvaccinated Americans' chance of death from COVID-19 was more than 11 times greater than fully vaccinated people, while the risk of testing positive was 6 times higher among the unvaccinated. And there's no reason that we shouldn't trust the CDC data, right? I mean, they've been nothing but on the up and up since the beginning of this. They've been totally on the up and up. No reason not to trust the CDC. Still, some like Rogers have pointed to breakthrough infections as a reason for doubt. Breakthrough infections are to be expected even when you have highly effective vaccines. Okay, I have to read that again. Breakthrough infections. Okay, so just think before COVID, right? Just think about before COVID, what we all knew a vaccine was, what it did. This doctor, Roy Gulick, chief of infectious disease at Weill Cornell Medical in New York. Breakthrough infections are expected even when you have highly effective vaccines.
Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
Do you know anybody that's gotten the mumps in your life after they've had MMR as a kid? Do we know anybody who has breakthrough infections of the mumps? I don't.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
But this guy, Roy, says that they're to be expected, even with a highly effective vaccine. Like, this is just the rewriting of reality, right? We're just going to pretend like vaccine doesn't mean what it means, so the CDC changes the definition. And then this guy says, hey, even if you're vaccinated for anything, you're gonna get it, because that's just normal, right? Rogers continues to believe that his choice to get vaccinated is his own and will not impact others. If you're vaccinated and the vaccine works, do you care if someone else is vaccinated? If I'm vaccinated again against the mumps, do I care whether you are vaccinated against the mumps? No, because the vaccine prevents me from getting the mumps. We're just like talking in circles. We are talking in circles. The binary framing, as they quote binary framing, that vaccination is an individual choice and that if you get vaccinated, it offers 100% protection is not true. So then don't call it a vaccine. Just like I've said before, let's call it what it is. It's a gene therapy, right? Just like they said, out of the gate, some doctors had the balls to say it. It's a gene therapy, not a vaccine. The brilliant doctor continues here. The way that our society works is in varying degrees of relationships with other people. Thanks, Doc. I didn't realize that we had interactions with other people. Our actions, directly or indirectly, impact the actions of everyone around us. Thanks. Didn't know that either. Then they quote Rogers again. Why do people hate ivermectin? Not just because Trump championed it, because it's a cheap generic and you can't make any money off of it. Is that not true? Again, I say, you know, Rogers' statements, is that not true? And it's the reason that the Post had to run this piece, right? Because when you have point after point after point that he makes, that is right on the money, right? There's there's nothing incorrect about what he's saying. That's why they need to run this piece to discredit him. And what the experts say, here we go, from the experts. The National Institutes of Health, the NIH, also known as where Fauci hangs his hat. So there's no reason not to trust them, right? I mean, they've been right on the money the whole time. The NIH has funded studies of ivermectin, a drug typically used to treat parasitic worms and other common drugs not approved to treat COVID-19. But as of now, the evidence of efficacy against the coronavirus is lacking. So then why is it on the NIH's website as a treatment for COVID, I ask again? Why? Next one. I have an allergy to this is a Rogers quote. I have an allergy to an ingredient that's in the mRNA vaccines. On the CDC's own website, it says that should you have an allergy to any of the mRNA vaccines, so those two were out. The only other option was the J&J. And in mid-April, the J&J got pulled for clotting issues. So the J&J wasn't an option at that point either. Okay, so again, another Rogers statement. What in there is incorrect? If he's saying that he has allergies to something that's in there, I can't say that's true or not true. The J&J shot did get pulled for clotting. So two statements, we can confirm one, we don't know the other. But here's what the experts say. Overall, adverse reactions to the coronavirus vaccines remain rare, including allergies and blood clotting. Huh, that's interesting. Adverse reactions remain rare. Let's take a quick look at VAERS. 18,078 deaths, 88,000 hospitalizations, 95,000 urgent care visits, 133,973 doctor's office visits, 7,800 cases of anaphylaxis, 10,000 cases of Bell's palsy. Rare? Does the writer of this piece not know that VAERS exists? And by all estimates, the numbers in VAERS are exceedingly low. They're actually probably, you know, between 1 and 10% of what reality is. So if that's the case, how do we make the case that it's exceedingly rare? They just say it, right? They just say it. And then the last quote they have here for Rogers is, to my knowledge, there's been zero long-term studies around sterility or fertility issues around the vaccines. So that was something that I was definitely worried about. Again, right, his last statement here, right, they quote him, is there something in there that's incorrect? Have there been long-term studies? No, there haven't, because the thing hasn't even been around for enough time to do long-term studies, right? We created it in 9 months. Now we're mixing and matching. Have at it. Any long-term clinical trials on that? No. Who needs a clinical trial? Come on. I mean, we're not, you know, whatever. You just take a shot. Mix and match. Take this one, take that one. Booster 3, 4, 5. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. And, you know, again, we're going to give you whatever you need, right? We'll give you free food. We'll give you free weed, free booze. We'll give you free lottery tickets. We'll give you free time off from work. And over in, this is in Austria. Yeah, Austria. A brothel is now offering free sex sessions to patrons who get a COVID vax on site. Right? After all that free stuff, like, why not? We'll just go to sex. And this is not only for men, right? Many, many men have shown up to get their shots here, but boys as young as 14 are allowed access to the clinic, provided they have an adult with them. Come on, son. We're going to go to the clinic. I mean, I'm going to get your knob waxed, and you can get a shot at the same time. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I guess Austria has done the same thing that New York and California in terms of their requirement for vaccination. And the guy who owns the place, his name is Christopher Lee Lacher, director of the Fun Playlist in Vienna, told Reuters that it's an exciting new initiative. And he says, we're very popular. I bet you are. which they created in response to the government mandate barring the unvaccinated from restaurants and other indoor areas amid the infection spike last week. Yeah. So I guess, like I said, it was just a matter of time. But if we look at one of the things that's a little disconcerting is the case numbers appear to be going up again. So if we scroll over quickly to the New York Times, we have the 14-day rolling average. So the new cases are up 7%. Deaths continue to drop, which is good. But new cases are now up 7% across the United States, which is not good. So we're heading into the winter, and, you know, it's cold and flu season as it is anyway. And the cases are going back up. So the authoritarians in charge are definitely going to make a move to do more of their craziness. So I'm very concerned about what's going to happen, being the fact that I'm in New York City. But there was one piece where a senior NIH doctor pushed back on COVID-19 vaccine mandates, which is like, finally, somebody's like, okay, can we have a discussion about this? Because until now, if you wanted to have a discussion, like, sorry, no discussion allowed. Just take the shot. Line up, peasant, take the shot. Roll up your arm, take the shot. Do it, do it, do it. But a top infectious disease doctor has raised an alarm about the COVID-19 vaccine mandates, despite top federal officials recommending them for businesses and other institutions. This guy's name is, where is it? Mimoli. His last name is Mimoli. Mimoli had told Fauci in a July 30 email that he says, the way we are using the vaccines is wrong, adding that mandating vaccines is extraordinarily problematic. In comments to the paper, Mimoli said that he supports COVID-19 vaccination in high-risk groups, including obese people and the elderly. However, widespread vaccination for people who have low risk of death or severe illness from COVID could hamper the U.S. population ability to develop more robust protection against the virus via previous infection. Herd immunity via previous infection. Just, that sounds an awfully lot like what the great Barrington Declaration wanted to do, right? Protect the elderly. If you're sick, stay home. Everybody else, go live your life. We're going to reach herd immunity, and we're not going to do it with all of this insane lockdowns, people overdosing on drugs, alcoholism up, domestic abuse is up, all of these side effects of lockdowns and all of this COVID insanity, we wouldn't have to deal with if we had just done that from the beginning. Okay, folks, time for the woke word of the day. Hi, I'm your beta male, and the woke word of today is cisgender. Cisgender. And the definition is an unenlightened normie who identifies with their biological sex. That's your woke word of the day. If you need a translation, it means if you're a born man and you identify as a man, you're cisgender. Anyway, folks, that's it. That's going to do it for me on this Thursday, November 11th. Thank you for joining me. Don't forget. We are smoother than a gravy sandwich here, and we love to have you come and visit. How about we listen to a little bit of the Fearless Leader?
Come on, man.
Before we leave.
We choose truth over facts.
Yeah.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years.
Yeah. Look, President of the United States, everybody.
The lives, think about it.
Yeah, think
poor
about it.
Kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and in a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who brings out the carts on a forklift. What happens? They make you management.
It would be a hell of a lot better if we had electric buses. It would change the circumstance on boom, boom, boom.
Leader of the free world, folks. Don't worry. Everything's good. He's in charge. We're all safe. That's going to do it for me. I'll be here spreading truth, justice, and the American way every Tuesday and Thursday. Got to do it because Superman bailed on us, right? He had to go become more woke, and like maybe he's reading the woke word of the day on his podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast. And if you like what you hear, head over to iTunes or wherever you get it. Give me a 5-star review, and please share it with your friends. Your friends who are informed, your friends who are uninformed, and walk around talking to the carpet. But I'll be here back on Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for joining me. And until next time, let's go, Brandon.